Welcome to the Snarling Men, the unofficial Celtic Football Club podcast. I'm your host, the Comic Snob, and we're back from our mini break, joined by Bruce Hillboy, to discuss Celtic's latest title triumph, a 45th. Will the Rangers, of course, have none. Ha ha ha. Speed you to the end of the pod. Hell hell. Right, so we're back after our month off, and what an exciting thing to talk about in our return. So I'm joined by Bruce Hillboy. Hi, Bruce.
Hello, John. Hail, hail,
champions. Hail, hail. And yes, last night we completed our 45th league triumph. We are 5-1 win in Maryhill, my wonderful home village, against my local team, Partick Thistle. And it was a triumph, of course, for Neil Lennon, but we'll talk about him later. So before we start moaning about people, which we no doubt will, you can have a brief talk about last night's game if you want, and well, okay, we'll talk about last night's game. That was a rare good performance.
Yeah, I thought the setting half
was a good performance. First half was pretty crap.
First half was what we've kind of been used to seeing all season, scoring an early goal and then, you know, sit back. But you know, it was all about winning last night. You know, I don't really think, you know, anybody would have been hung up on a win, nothing. It was just all about winning, and it finally, you know, mathematically clear, and we can concentrate on being what we did at the end of the season, which will probably be the exact same which we've done for the start of the season, whereas every fan wants to see, you know, a couple of fringe players get a chance to, but that will not happen.
You mean it'll be seven games of tedious boredom?
But it would have been like 29 already, so
you can't say that. This is the greatest triumph. Listen, do you know that Celtic were rubbish in the 1990s?
Obviously, that right, and to be fair, put it in context,
I mean, you enjoy when you win the league, but the way some people are getting on last night, I think it was a bit over the top, trying to hint another set of supporters that they're actually enjoying this. I couldn't think of what other team you're talking about there, what other set of supporters, I'll need to have a wee think about that. Right, so I've got to say, even though we've no gave young players a chance, Liam Henderson, who we did give a chance, of course he never started last night, he gets shunted for Mulgrew, scored the second goal last night, and I know it's early days, but he's done well for us so far, but we don't want to put loads of pressure on him, and he turns out to just disappear like so many other youngsters with great hopes for the future have at Parkhead, but he's done well so far.
You know, obviously, you don't want them the pressure, but, you know, the very place in the team to the level he's playing, obviously, the expectations, you know, that he's got to play that every week. But I think he's a good player, and I don't think he looks massively out of his depth, or, you know, he looks right at home in the midfield, so. But, I mean, he's just in there to give him a grow of a egg, innit? Because, you know, we know that all these good midfielders breaking through, but, you know, Lennon Leash, but midfield he's got the now, so I don't know how going to fit into the team going forward. I think maybe some of them might need to go.
Well, we'll talk about that, and we will. And another goal last night scored by Stefan Johansson, his second goal. His first goal was a great header on Saturday, I think, and I have to say he has done quite well for me so far. He's neat and tidy, and he's scoring goals. Two already. We just hope he doesn't turn into a Joe Ledley.
Well, I think he's been a cracking find, Johansson. Considering he just played a full season, you know, I think he'd finished in October, you know, so he was yet to start again, you know, and he's playing like that. And I think that, you know, the summer break will just do him the world of good as well when he'll come back to the Champions League. I think he's a great player, and I think anybody that's still hung up about Ledley should watch this guy in and out, because he's everything that Joe Ledley promised to be. And although it's still early with Johansson, but it looks as if he's right at home in that midfield, and he looks as if he's been there for years. Just hope, you know, and I hope it's one of these signings. I don't think anybody, you know, I don't think it's like a bit like Lustig, you know, because we got him from Scandinavia. I don't think many teams will be looking at him, so I think we should be keeping him for a few years.
Well done to John Park and Peter Lawwell on the signing. Hint, hint.
Aye, John Park, good. Best thing is ever happened to Celtic.
Okay, listen, I just had a thought there. See in the cup game that we failed so miserably in against Aberdeen. John Pollock should have been in the dugout and Lennon could have went up to him and said, John, what do you have? He's done that before.
He's done that before in cup games. Aye, John. John Pollock, he's good suit on and all.
Aye, so I got him in the dugout and asked him how to change it. see if he'd done that. We'd still be in the cup and we still have something to play for.
Hold on a minute though.
We've been playing Dumbarton in the quarterfinals, so we would boot the cup, in fact, of course. Ian Murray's molars.
All good things that come to an end.
Indeed. Right, so that's us wrapped up the league. Probably the next pod we'll end up doing will probably be the end of season / salute to Rangers Cup final victory extravaganza. But the band pots are like that. But I mean, we'll just talk about this briefly, the season so far. Oh, well, the season on the whole, because we've won the league. Not really been great. I mean, according to a beloved manager, we're world class. We're in a great, brilliant position now. We're this, we're that. No, the thing is, every cup competition we've entered this season has been a disaster. That seems to have slipped through his memory. The two cup exits at home, don't want to belabour it. We've talked about it before, were embarrassing. And the Champions League, although it was good we got there, getting there seemed to have just been the objective, and the performances in the Champions League were crap, to put it mildly. So, I mean, I suppose if we're getting grades, Neil Lennon gave the season a 7 out of 10. I'd give it a 4.5, maybe.
Last year, we were worse in the league last year than we were this year, and people seen it as a success because of the Champions League and that. So,
and we did win a cup.
And we won a cup, so I'm kind of that, you know, position. Like, I'm delighted that we won the league, but you know, the league's, to me, I think it's a great achievement for the team to have stayed so motivated, and that's fair enough. But leagues are normally about who's the best team. I don't think the last two have been about that, because you know there's no question who the best team is. To me, it's been Celtic are obviously going to be, over the course of the season, they're going to throw 7, 8, 9 games of consistency together. And, you know, once they part away after about 6 weeks, you know, nobody's going to catch them. And to be fair, it is a good thing to stay motivated in the team. You know, the day you got, you know, they're on a hide into nothing, because, you know, they win the league, they're expected to do it. If they don't win it, you know, it's a disaster. But they should to look at themselves in the cups, because that's, you know, teams are really going for us now in the cup. And Champions League, that'd be great to get there and all that. But, you know, you can't have a season where you get to the last 16 and then the next season just expect, just be happy to get in there. That's not how it works. You know, it's all right to be disappointed. It's okay to be disappointed in Celtic. I don't think some people get that.
Aye, they came out with a crab about how we're spoiled, we're entitled. Now, hold on a minute, if we look at our great rivals, their deed. See, when we were crap in the 90s, as you know, they won everything back then. They won cups, they won the treble, they won umpteen doubles, nearly got to the Champions League final. I mean, they won
the... They
were rotten in Europe, done well 1 year. But domestically, I mean, well, we're rotten in Europe as well, let's face it. Domestically, I mean, they won trophy after trophy. I mean, we are meant to be happy with just the Premier League, and we've got no competition. People forget that in the 90s, when we were crap, recurring theme, other teams were competitive. Aberdeen took Rangers to the last game of the season once, for God's sake. Like, Motherwell and Hearts took them to, like, April and stuff. I mean, we've got absolutely nobody. So, I mean, we really should be having better seasons. And of course, I know the TG's cheerleaders will be like, no, we're brilliant. That's not the case. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next season. We'll talk about next season in a wee while.
Well, I said last year, when the whole thing kicked off, I said the worst thing that could happen is if we win most of our games playing poorly, you know, and just turning up dead. I said, because if we win 6-7 and every week we're playing good football, fans will accept it. It's good football. You go to see goals, you know what I mean? That's why you go watch football. But the way we won it this year was Aye, there were some, like, you know, 4-1, 5-1, 6-0, there were 7-0 in the cup and all that, don't forget. But mainly it's been, you know, like last night, goals and, you know, like, there's no, I don't think, maybe Motherwell away, yeah, it's kind of a good game, but, like, I don't think, like last night, I don't think there's been a game over the season that for 90 minutes they've been brilliant, you know, like, they've always been a threat going forward. Like, a lot of the goals this year have came, which is, it's a good quality of scoring goals, you know, one after the other and short spells, but I don't think they've dominated a game for 90 minutes this season.
Maybe against Hearts, I suppose, and that utopian cup victory that...
Aye, the Hearts game, but I was meaning that I was thinking of the league.
Oh, the league, like, Motherwell 5-0, I suppose.
It was a bit of a struggle up to the first goal, though, and... But they did play well that night, I must admit, but it's just, they score over goals and spells, and it is a good quality of, but I think when you're looking for, you know, that word, excitement again, I don't think excitement means Aberdeen winning 9 out of 10 games and drawing with us, you know what I mean? I don't think that. I think excitement's playing decent football with good players scoring good goals, you know, but I don't think the fans have got that this year.
No, the thing is, people are talking up Aberdeen because they won that cup. Aberdeen get beat 3-1 after Partick Thistle. Aberdeen have get beat twice after Hearts this season. That says it all. Aberdeen are no a good team, and they've embarrassed us, well, once for sure. Of course, ended our beloved unbeaten record in the league. So, I mean, I can't see next season being any different. Aberdeen will be miles behind again. I mean, United are too inconsistent. Who do we know like the most in the league? Rangers and Hearts. None of them are going to be in the league next season. It's going to be bloody boring again, isn't it?
I was going to say that, like, with any Hearts. And also, you know, another SPL team could go down, and I know that doesn't really affect us, but, you know, the playoffs is going to be the most exciting in our season. And then next year, the first division is probably going to be very exciting in our league, which, you know, it's a damning, you know, it's a damning indictment of the game. But I think Aberdeen, if they win the cup, the Scottish Cup,
it's not going to happen.
Anyway, won't they? Because they'll finish second.
Well, they're only
in Europe.
Oh, they're not in Europe.
I'm not saying they'll win it, but I think they could maybe attract one or two better players, you know, because on the back of the season.
They'll only win one cup anyway, of course.
Aberdeen will still beat Celtic and then go and get beat at Partick on a Saturday. That's what Aberdeen did. They've done it ever since I can remember.
Well, right enough. But, I mean, people are saying, oh, they could do this, they could do that. The only reason they had 100,000 in Aberdeen last week is because they've not won it in for, like, since 96. Their attendances are still, like, sub 20,000. And if Aberdeen are challenging us with sub 20,000 attendances, that means that there's something badly wrong with Celtic. No way Aberdeen hugely improving, I'd say.
I don't know if anything to do with fans coming up with games has got to do with Celtic.
Because of the money.
I know, but...
That means we've been doing to Aberdeen's level. I mean, we're already getting there.
We're already there.
Ah, but we're 20-something points ahead, and we're still a better team than them, but I mean...
We're a vastly better team. And boys like Henderson and that would get in any other team.
Too early to tell.
No, I think anyway, but what I would say about Aberdeen is they've got that stupid bottle crashing thing. They beat us and then go and get beat. Like, it'd be great if Aberdeen could maybe string 12 wins on the trot next year, but the same thing's going to happen.
Never happen in a million years.
We're going to win the league as soon as we pull away in about October, November. We're not going to look back, and it's just going to be another season where we need something good to happen in Europe. The cup, I mean, even, you know, you better win, but the Scottish Cup takes that daft 2 month break, you know what I mean? So you forget about that, and that breaks it every minute up. So we need to do well in Europe, we need to keep the fans interested for a while, because fans will say, well, you know, it's all about winning the league, and I support the Celtic in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and whatever. And we've lost leagues, and you need to appreciate every league you won, but you can't say to me that you've watched every game this season and went, you know what, you know, this is up there with the teams. Like, I mean, John Barnes' team would give this team a good goal.
The thing is, it was alright to lose leagues and cups in because we're competition. We weren't the only team in Scotland. No, we are. And I mean...
Well, we're cheated out. The titles in the 90s,
of course. I was talking about the 80s and all that as well. But one of the real cheater out in the 80s, because Aberdeen and Dundee United used to win everything in the 80s.
Aye, that's true. But then, that's what I'm saying, though, that, like, in the 80s, it obviously were good teams, and it was a better standard of football, but now it's like, we all know, to be fair to Celtic, we all know that he did nothing, you know what I mean? But if we win the league by less than 20 points, people say, oh, you know, what's happening? Like, the paper today, I couldn't believe it, even if they were so positive about Celtic.
I know, let's...
Lennon's brilliant battlers.
You were reading them MSM? That's
what it says.
How dare you? Trainee Keith Jackson. Now listen, let's talk about, before we start talking about the players and that, let's talk about Neil McCann, who said on the telly last night, that and he said something today as well, but we'll talk about last night, that this was not one of Celtic's best ever league titles. Cue outrage for the Bamports. But he's telling the truth. You've got to be absolutely mad if you think this is one of Celtic's best titles.
Aye, but I think as well though, like, to me, it's the whole how people let it ruin their night.
That's true.
And then stuff like, oh, you're not ruining my night, H. You know, but it obviously is, because all you've done is act off for hours, slag him and call him every name under the sun. Well, the problem with Neil McCann is he was desperate to put a downer on it, you know what I mean? But that's just, to me, that's just, you know, Neil McCann and Sky. They
were
desperate to put a downer on it.
Him
and Tanner were desperate. You know, they couldn't wait to mention
Rangers,
but at the end they can't play for Rangers.
You're sounding so much like a Bampo. I'm terminating this interview right now.
I'm trying to defend McCann in the sense that we know.
Only kidding. He's a right good Tim.
Aye, but me know what he is. So it's a shocked mentality that people let it ruin and let it dominate.
True.
Whatever happened to us winning, you know what I mean, we won the league, and aye, it's great, but we don't need vindication of people like Neil McCann.
Hunk, I hope you're not talking about a guy who also tweeted, pick it out, Campbell Ogilvie, after we scored last night. You're not talking about him by any chance, are you?
No.
Let's not give him any, let's not mention his name.
And I think Campbell Ogilvie does really well to run the SFA and playing goals for Partick Thistle.
Exactly. Don't forget, it was an Irishman that won his league last night as well. Don't forget, Stokes. Now, O'Neill McCann said today as well, seen the internet, that Celtic should have won another trophy this season, and that's true as well.
He said that Celtic fans expect a cup today. Okay. You know what I mean?
Look at how many...
That's what gets me. If you did, it's not this season. Start the season with me, you know, mate, when we done the first pod, we went, well, I won the treble, because, one, we're the best team in Scotland, and two, it's, you know, if it's a trophy up for grabs, you want to win it. I mean, see, these people tweet good for Scottish football, and then, you know, deep down, do they really know why Celtic win every game 12-0 and win all the cups?
See if Rangers win the cup, they won't be saying it's good for Scottish football, it'll be different. That'll be a different story. Good for Scottish football unless Rangers win it. That's the rule.
They'll know when it.
Well, we'll talk about that in the Rangers special podcast with you. Now, let's talk about some players in the team. Anthony Stokes scored 2 last night. He's rather worryingly starting to play no bad again. But I want us to get shot at him, I really do. He's just no cut out for the Champions League, which is our only important games nowadays. I mean, I know you like Thumped, and we'll talk about him now for a couple of minutes. But I mean, I hope to God somebody takes Stokes off us, because he's had too often. Flat track bully, scores against the crap teams, plays abominable in the big games. I mean, I went rid of him.
You know my thoughts on him. To hear me do his second goal last night was a beauty. But he knew he was always going to shoot it. That's my problem with Stokes. It was in the first half, he cut inside and had a shot wide and turned around and won the easy good eight or something. No, you know, and at him for it was out at it wide. Just I think that, you know, he's seen himself go for not getting a look in, not even in a leak, to, you know, being the first player in the space of 6 months, because, you know, we see how Hooper and Samaras is fell away and all that. And,
aye.
You know, Stokes knows. I mean, I don't like Stokes, I don't think he's a good player, I don't think he's Celtic, I don't think he's good enough for us, because he only doesn't know, and that's fair enough, he's the bread and butter, but Celtic strikers have all, you know, I don't want to sound like a pamper, but who comes across to Celtic's history? Well, it's always been great strikers, you know what I mean? That's who you remember the most. And Stokes is never going to go, well, he just as one of them, because, you know, you've seen some great strikers over the years, and watching what we've got up front in the new, include Griffiths in that, and I think Griffiths is going to be a great player, but I mean, as in the new, it's kind of worrying compared to what we've been seeing, though. The last few years.
We really need to buy some kind of other striker for the Champions League. I don't know if we will, but we really need a day. I mean,
we need a target man that can actually hold somebody off.
We've been seeing that for years, we've never bought one.
I know.
But Griffiths has surprised me. I mean, I didn't really want him to sign, but he scored quite a lot of goals, so fair play to him, but he does miss far too many chances.
He's a grafter though.
But I mean, in the Champions League,
he's untested in the Champions League. I think you've jumped the gun on the Champions League with Griffiths. I think you need to give him a chance in the Champions League first.
Oh, well, but let's be honest for a minute. Do you actually think he'll be good enough for us in the Champions League?
I don't see why not.
I'll remember that.
You know, you can note it. You can write it down. I think Griffiths has got the basis of a good game. In Europe, he grafts. He runs, you know. He's always looking to try and make something happen. In Europe, you need to do that. Griffiths will run his heart out for 90 minutes away from home.
Do you think he'd walk up front his cell, but because that's what we'd need to do?
Because look at his goal against Hearts. Like, fair enough, it was Stokes that played the ball for him, but he's ran fit and it was against Hearts. But he's ran 30 years with that ball, and he's created his chance for himself when he's put it away. And his goal against Inverness, his instincts, you know, I think he'll do quite well. I don't think he'll win as a Champions League, whatever, but he'll score. If you put the ball in the box, he'll put it in the net. But realistically, I think we need a Jan type player with a bit of pace. Somebody that can hold defenders off and bring players like Griffiths into the game.
I'd rather we done that than, because if it's Stokes and Griffiths up front, I think I'll just start greeting.
But they're talking last night on Sky about the two of them kind of putting me. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I just see it as two kind of similar players, like Hartson and Sutton, where they were just too similar, and after a while, you know, the other defences, you know, kind of system it. Like, I think Griffiths is the better player, and I think that's going to come to it. That it will come to it that Griffiths will end up being, you know, the first choice. I think Stokes will fall away, but we desperately need something different, just something different, you know, because it's like, you bring on Samaras and fair enough, he did set to up last night, but he's not that big man we're looking for. And Baldy, you know, the main thing, Baldy will go on, and Pookie will go on. And all the strikers seem to be the same, similar kind of player, you know. It's alright just to be a big guy that can win the ball in the air and hoist people off. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think we're trying to kind of these, you know, kind of modern day strikers that want to play out wide and link up with midfield, like Commons, it ends up. Been
with
the strikers that we've got.
By the way, I wouldn't play Commons in Europe next season. I'd put him on the bench. I know he's been brilliant in the Premier League, but he's absolutely murdered in Europe. He's all right floating about from one place to another in the Premier League, but when you need more discipline in the Champions League, he's nae well. And I hope
he's not got that wee bit of skill. He buy himself time in the Champions League.
Aye, like he gets away with in the Premier League.
He's not got that. See that way he drifts off in that. In Europe, when you're playing one up front, teams play for the number 10 type player, and that's Covid. And they mark him, they're up his arse and whatever. But in Scotland, he gets that wee hockey out of space. And in Europe, when he does get it, he's not got the skill. He's not got the game to take advantage. And I think he's a great player. I think he's a really good player. But that kind of poor man's Nakamura, poor man's Lubo kind of mentality. Just shite. It's Commons is that exact. He's just the specimen for that. And where does this seniority and free kicks come from? I don't think he's ever put a good free kick in for us.
No, I can't even really remember him scoring a free kick for us. I'm sure
he scored one last year, at the last day of the season.
Did it not take a big deflection?
No, it was straight in.
I think it was Dungeon United, wasn't it? I think I remember it.
Right, Paradise. But apart from that, I can't remember him sticking one to that corner. And time he gets, I mean,
their
big Van Dijk sticks one,
they
start
winning,
he's not took one since.
That's weird, that. So, I mean, as well as a new striker, I'd hope we buy a new sort of attacking midfielder to complement Johansson. But, I mean, obviously, Brown will be shoehorned in, and don't forget.
I'd be happy to see Brown, Beaton and Johansson playing a midfield three next year.
Oh, you've made a mistake though. Mulgrew.
I know, this is what I would like.
Mulgrew will never get dropped.
I know, but I just think we're a better team. That's a better team because I think the way Brown's had a lot of discipline in his game.
I agree, but see if he gets booked early, that's him out of the game.
I mean, that's a fair comment. But
I mean, look at that Aberdeen game and get booked in the first 20 minutes and then never done it in the rest of the game.
But I've seen people thought we were getting that box to a box midfield that it was at Hibs, and to be fair, a wee bit more of that would have been great. But I think definitely started it. I think you're actually a better player if you're a wee bit more disciplined. And I think Scott Brown's a good player for us, and I think he's had a good season. But I'd like to see him. Like, I think Johansson is the player that should be let go, you know, in the midfield. Like,
aye.
And Beaton's got the. I think Beaton's one of a cracker. He's got the discipline. He sat there with Brown, and I think Beaton doesn't get the ball away, which Brown's guilty here quite often. In basis of signing a new midfielder, I would like a maybe no a defensive or an attack midfielder, but see somebody with a bit of experience that's played in Europe before. You know what I mean? See if a player that's maybe played in the Champions League
aye.
30 for a year.
Aye.
You can just have somebody with a wee bit of nous, with a wee bit of knowledge. It would be such a better team. I think we're too eager on this. You know, or we just sign young boys that we can play for a year and then sell them.
Aye, that's what I was thinking. I mean, we don't really sign experienced players at all. In fact, Coleman's is probably the last one, and no reason we bought him was to piss off the Huns. He's turned out to be a good signing. He's turned out to be a good signing, but I mean, that's why we bought him.
That's well, I would agree with that to an extent, but even if the striker is an old, experienced striker that's played in Europe, you know,
that'd be good. Aye. That'd be good. By the way, you're right about Beaton. By the way, I forgot about him. He'll be a good player for us next season.
I think he's a good player. It's just the way he came in. I think Lennon tried to shackle him and say, "No, this is where you play and you don't move." And I think Lennon thought he was going to be another Kyle, but I think he's at his best when he's playing. I know we say day two friendlies in Turkey, but see when he's playing the game in front of him. And he can pass and move and drive. He'll Aberdeen away, he was brilliant, even though we get beat. It was him that was leading most of the attacks. And I think that suits him. But he's also got the discipline to sit back and say, right, we're under the pressure here. And he never wastes a pass. I think he's going to be a cracker. But I like Johansson. Johansson and Beaton would be exciting with somebody else there. But, you know.
And if we played Beaton at home against Aberdeen in the Cup, we'd still be in the Cup?
Aye, well, that was just. You know, but I mean, it's not as
it
picks
the
team, unfortunately.
No, it's I forgot who the manager is. Right, so let's talk about him then. Oh, good, Neil Lennon. What is there to say about him? we talk about him all the time. Can you think of anything new we can say about him after last night's?
Well done for winning another title, Neil.
Don't go overboard about it, Neil.
No, I mean, I think, like, Lennon, this will sound mad, but, like, Lennon's first 2 years, or first year and a half, I was content to the fact that he was a rookie manager or whatever, and his first year we played some good stuff, but I just think it gets worse progressively, but we've won 3 leagues in a row now, and...
The thing is...
You know... It's like the first season we played some great football and won nothing, and he kind of abandoned that freedom.
The biggest problem is he never, ever, ever learns from his mistakes. He's been doing the same things since he'd been the manager. I mean,
I honestly don't just say this, but I can't see that Mulgrew brings to the field.
No.
Beaton or Johansson or Brown or Henderson or Kyle don't.
I know you don't like Mulgrew. I don't really mind him. He's right good to him and all that. And I mean,
no,
seeing
he's playing at centre half, he's a far better.
Exactly. People forget that when We won the league in 2012 and he got player of the year. He was sent off nearly the whole season.
Right, and he was great for the whole season. Exactly. I'm one of his biggest fans. I was one of his biggest supporters when he played up. And it's not necessarily him. It's Lennon putting the midfield. I don't see what he brings any other midfielder at a club, doesn't he? He set pieces of fella, but he stopped to take, doesn't even take them anywhere. That bad. And I think it's just a Lennon likes him, and he knows that now that Ambrose has had a great season, by the way, next to Van Dijk. He knows that he's not good enough to play in there, and he's not good enough. We've seen him how bad he is at left back, so he's like, we'll throw him in the field just to get my game. And there's no room for that, you know what I mean? I just don't see what it brings to a team other than the fact that Lennon seems to like
him. I mean, if he was playing centre-half alongside either Ambrose or Van Dijk, then fair enough. But, I mean, midfield is just crap, basically.
I just honestly don't see what it brings to any other midfielder at a club don't. To me, when he first put him in there, it was in Europe, and he'd be able to keep on to the ball, but he can't hold on to the ball. That's his problem. He plays these passes out wide and that right for half, but when we're playing in Europe, he was playing on the left of midfield, and Samaras was playing kind of one up for him, kind of thing. And the goals in Moscow, we were overrun the midfield. You know, Juventus were overrun the midfield. And it's just that, you know, he's not a midfielder, and Lennon seems to have this notion that the boy is a central midfielder, and you know, he's not, because he's not got the brain to play midfield. He slows his team down and everything, but it's not his fault Lennon keeps playing in there.
No, and unfortunately when it comes to Lennon, his ego, as we know, is one of his biggest problems. If he thinks a player can play in that position, he sticks with it. Like, I mean,
it's the way, like, when Anil had 3-5-2,
aye,
and when Strachan played those inverted wingers, mm-hmm, Lennon wants that to be his mark. You know, this is what I bring shite players in bad positions.
What I bring to a club. The thing is, we work much better when we play that diamond formation. When we go back to two wingers, it just doesn't work. But we know that he loves Forrest, so Forrest will always end up getting thrown in the team where he's not permanently injured, and I think that's to the detriment of the team. We're much better when we play with foot wingers. But I suppose Neil three in a row, Lennon knows best.
Forrest is a good player if you put a bit of mind on his skills. But
is there a kick down by now, Bruce? I think. Is there a kick down by now? I mean, he's been in the team for three seasons.
And he does just do that daft kick the ball in front of somebody who deserves it, but.
And he's always injured.
He should be better. No, he should have kicked on, but. And I agree with you, I think they play better than the wingers, but sometimes it's too narrow. And I don't think. And I really like Matthews, he's a great, but I don't think the two of them can play in this way. And I really like Matthews, and it hurts me saying it, but I don't think he can play where he's got a very creative force out wide every time. And he's a great set to go up last night, but you know, his crossing has been relatively poor for the season. And I think, you know, that's why I like Fisher, because when we were playing St Mirren, there were about three or four times we were picking up the park, and Fisher was actually wanting the ball in a goal scoring position. You know, he was getting seven into a box, where I think Matthews kind of spies out wide a wee bit more. But I think that'll see if Lustig comes back, because I think Lustig is the best out of three of them.
Fisher's been bombed out completely. Is he injured?
No, I just think Lennon prefers Matthews, which is fair. I think Matthews is a great player, but
I still think he's fully fit, but
I don't think he's fat either. He's not looked fat since he came back, but it's just the way we play. I think he's better with a winger, because one, he can use a winger, you know, he can use a winger to his advantage when he's running forward, and two, it's somebody that he can play after. But without wingers, when he's got to go up and down that wing all day, I don't think he looks comfortable, because I don't think his crossing's great.
No, well, I like Matthews as well, but if somebody came in for him, I wouldn't be averse to selling him. In fact, that brings us to the next topic. Our beloved chief executive, Peter Lawwell, said in the mainstream media, those bastards, I think today, he said today that we don't need to sell any players. Now, I don't know if his nose grew when he said that, like Pinocchio, because we will sell players. And I don't just mean guys like Sammy. I think, like, it's a stick on that Foster will go as well.
I think think Foster will go, but I don't think anybody else will go.
But the thing is, I agree with that, but then, like, the other day, Lennon said, if we don't get in the Champions League, we'll need to sell somebody. So why is Lowell coming out with, we don't need to sell somebody? I mean, we know we're going to sell somebody. In fact, even if we get in the Champions League, I think we'll sell Foster.
I think Foster's away, and I think what will happen is, if Foster doesn't get into this World Cup squad, he's away. And if Foster gets into the World Cup squad and doesn't play any games, he's away.
Aye.
You know, so I think he's away, and anyway, and to be fair to him, as I said on a previous pod, he's never given us any problems. He's always been professional. Good luck to you, boy. But with Samaras, I think we'll stay.
No.
I heard the other night he was about to sign a 3-year contract.
See, if that happens, I'm finished with Celtic forever.
Honestly, it would be typical Celtic to this guy. Nobody wants me, so I'll just sign 3 years with you now.
It's like Stokes again, isn't it?
Honestly, I heard, it was the other night somebody said that they heard that Samaras was close to a new contract that can't be.
It just can't be. I mean,
I don't know, but it's the way he's going to go to the World Cup, and he's going to have a good World Cup because the way Greece play, they play his strengths. And if he scores one or two goals, obviously he's going to get offers. And you know, I think Lennon's still got hopes for him. And you know, you can obviously keep bringing them on, but it's difficult in January because now we're in this awkward position. He comes on, and he doesn't deserve a game. He doesn't deserve to play in games that win the title because he's made his bed that he doesn't want to be here. And but if you know, he's not done it. His agent's tweeting that.
You should have been dropped. You should have been dropped forever after that ridiculous performance in the Aberdeen game.
That was the thing. Like, obviously we knew that Ledley left because he wouldn't sign a new contract. And then Ledley tried, he was forced out. But like, Samaras going to come and say, "Oh, he's forced out of Celtic." You know, he's got plenty of time. He's had about 18 months to sign a new contract, and he's not done it. So yours doesn't like to be here.
Nah, I mean, I really hope that. Whoever told you that is Ryan, because I really don't see any advantage at all. Samaras lingering about for another 3 years, having one good game in five.
The only way I can see him signing a new contract is if there's a clause in it that says if a team comes in for him after the World Cup for a certain amount of money, he's off.
I doubt that.
I honestly think it's best for everybody that he goes, and that best for everybody that he goes doesn't just apply to Samaras.
Gee, I wonder who you mean. It wouldn't have been Neil Lennon by any chance, would it?
Well, I think it's time.
Yes.
I just think 4 years is, you know, he's done well the last 4 years. He's won three titles now, and here we go, 10 in a row, obviously. But I think he wants a crack at England, and he's very, very, very bad at disguising it.
It wasn't even a disguise last week. We were at stuff about how British managers don't get jobs and stuff, and then he came out and said, no, I didn't say that. He's desperate to get a job in England.
Aye, definitely.
And he'll not get one. I think his time for getting a job in England was last year after we, I don't know if you remember this, but we beat Barcelona 2-1.
Aye.
Might have heard about it. But that
was... Was he not on goals on Sunday?
About 3 weeks later. I was on goals on Sunday. Holy cell about as usual. But I mean, that was the time a team would have took him on. Mind he was banned as usual in the dugout last game of the season, and they came out and done a speech, and it was like a strange, "I'll see you at the cup final" and all that. He didn't say anything about "I'm staying next season."
That was when the Everton thing was coming.
I think he thought, "I'm going to get the Everton job." Obviously,
I said that to you as well. Mind, I said the Eagles took a bit of a kick that Everton blatantly didn't want him.
Aye, Everton obviously had sanity and thought, "We're not going to give him the job." So I mean,
that's the thing. Aye, he's a stick on for that Norwich job. And whatever happens to them, Putin's going to leave because it's he's a cheap option for Norwich, and Norwich and Celtic are best mates, obviously.
Aye.
You know, Hooper's Norwich's best striker, Lennon. There's that kind of Torres Benitez thing about Chelsea, gave Benitez a job, and you think, well, he's going to get the best out of Torres.
Aye.
And I think he did, to be fair to Benitez, and I think there's the same thing here. Lennon knows how to get the best out of Hooper. And if he can take more ground that way, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the thing is, the way Lennon was going on last night, I hope that was just like excitement when he's winning the league, which is important to his ego, that he's going to stay a bit longer. Please, God, no. Please leave at the end of the season, Neil, for our sakes. Good for him.
Notch Forest will be a player as well.
Aye, and people keep turning the name down, though. Don't forget he played at Nottingham Forest for about 5 minutes and all if
that's,
they left us.
That's what I'm saying. Nottingham Forest is a player there. Because if Norwich go down and Forest go up,
I think a championship club's the best he'll get.
No, I think you can get a premiership and then go play like a lower league.
Even if we make a complete arse of the Champions League game next season.
Aye, because I think that what happens is who I'm trying to think of the guy, I can't remember his name.
There's only so long he can go in this. We beat Barca 2-1. It's wearing thin.
That's what I was going to say. But there was somebody that I'm trying to think lived a fucking bad result for years, and ended up he got a few jobs with
it. I know somebody did that. It was back when you were probably a tiny wee baby. Mike Walker, Norwich manager. They went to Bayern and beat them 2-1 and knocked them out of the UEFA Cup. And Bayern was still a big team then. It was in the '90s. I think Sutton was playing for Norwich, and he ended up getting a job at Everton and done crap, and that was based on Norwich getting that win against Bayern, and I think they finished third in the first ever Premiership when it started in there. And of course he ended up not being much copper manager. He's a manager that really got on the basis of one result.
Well, it's not the one I'm thinking of, but I've just Andre Villas-Boas has got two big jobs after the back of the Porto, one in the Europa League with Porto, and he's got another job Zenit.
He was a pundit on Spanish football once, for God's sake.
Aye. Well, because he knows how to read Barca.
See, if Ancelotti spoke to him, if Ancelotti spoke to Lennon.
He's doing all this, and teams are going to look at it. You know, Sky are a big player, and to me, he is doubting himself. And if there's a serious offer, he would need to think about it, because you could tell that speech last year, I'd forgot about it until you said it, but that was a very, very neutral speech. You know, we'll try and win the cup for you, but all week people were saying, are you going to Everton? And I think he fancied that Everton job. I really did fancy his chances, and I think his ego to a kick that he didn't get it. And I think that that's why I think he'll take the first job that he's offered, because he wants to prove to the people in England that he can manage. It's not about Celtic,
it's
about him being able to manage in England.
I mean, it's easy when you're up here. I mean, if we got Jackie Mack in or somebody, he'd probably be able to skate the league. But I mean, last week was so blatant, all that stuff about how British managers don't get jobs down south. Obviously it was him going on, somebody please. Of course he's not British, he's Irish, of course. I don't know what he was talking about then. But I mean, that was so obvious, his desperation. Somebody please give me a job. He's always touting himself for jobs in England. But there's been so many jobs in the Premiership. Are like, biggest championship clubs. Nobody's interested in him. And unfortunately, I think he'll be here next season as well. And we'll probably just have another season of us being pretty miserable about Celtic and Lennon and no winning any cups and winning the league by about 28 points or something. And then, of course, the season after. Well, that'll be different, of course, but we'll talk about that this time next year.
I was talking to one of his biggest supporters, Arasia, and she was saying that she thinks he's got to stay for another season, but to me, I think he wants out this year. I don't think he wants to deal with him coming back
up. Do you think he'll leave before we play Rangers again, yes, again, in the Premier League?
If he can get it, I think he will. Because I don't think he fancies it.
No.
Honestly, and to be fair to him, why would he? You know what I mean? But he's not exactly the best records against him, but...
Good point. Super Ali beat him twice at Ibrox.
Aye, we demolished watched them, man, the other twice, not when the two of them cancelled each other out, because at Parkhead we dominated them twice. And then, to be fair, there was a point I thought he was going to see Smith away. In fact, they had seen Smith away, and then he let him back in to win the league. But I just think too much, like, I get trained hatred there, and I think they'll focus at Rune Lennon. And why would they want that? You know, and I think he's looking at it and saying, if I can get a move out. Because if he goes next summer, people go, oh, he's scared of Rangers, he's run away and all that. Whereas if he goes this year, it's all well, you know, cheers for the memories, Neil.
It's a good get-out for him and all. Of course, oh, there'll be bigotry, I'm leaving. And there's a contract with Sky. No. BT are getting the Champions League. You're probably going to work for them. The man who beat Barca. So,
just spill every Barca game.
Now, Neil, you beat Barcelona. Could you tell us about it, please? Now, here's a thing. We'll finish shortly. Here's a thing. Last season, I was just thinking, and we've been talking about attendances quite a lot recently, online, of course, like good Bamports do. I mean, attendances are pretty pitiful, and that's with the last season. The season tickets £100 off them, of course. Now, Peter Lowell said that was a one-time deal, but they can't think about raising season tickets. Surely it'd be a PR disaster.
Well, I don't go to the games regularly anymore, but...
Well, I did. I had a season ticket for 17 years, like a Uber fan arm.
Through the 90s?
Through the 90s, aye. I was there. Well, the end of the 90s. But, I mean, I gave it up because it was boring, and football wasn't much caught. Of course, Neil Lennon's ego. But, I mean... And I didn't, my mum kept saying, you should get a season ticket, because it had £100 off, and I said, like, it's not going to be worth it. And I don't think it would have been value for money this season for the fans. I mean, we've won every game, I think, at home. No, we've drew one. But I mean, I drew two even. But I mean, the value for money, even with £100 off, isn't there. So, I mean...
No, it's £100 off, right? But, the
that's
you know,
right.
The UK deal bar opened. Xboxes and sweeties for the mains, a new fish bar, you know, sell it on half, you know, that £100 was made up.
They'll go to bat with
well before the first ball was kicked.
Go to bat for the Champions League games and all. But I think season ticket sales will probably fall again this season. I mean, people have
I don't see how they could, as you say, raise them again.
I mean, it's still, I was looking at it the other day, it's still £26 and I think £29 for quote-unquote the bigger games in the Premier League. And that is ridiculous for Scottish Premier League football, paying £29 to see us play Hearts or Aberdeen or something. That is just...
That's what I was going to say. A few boys I know they play football on a Saturday, so they go, they've got the season ticket and they just go to away games now. And it's a lot better because the atmosphere at away games is a lot better because you're in it. I mean, I see people, like Man United in the Champions League, I see people going on Parkhead, they'd be bouncing at this rate, and wouldn't it be?
No, wouldn't it be?
People, if we were 3-0 up, if we're 2-0 doing them, we would 3-0 up, it'd be a thing song, but the last 20 minutes would not be bouncing, we'd all be biting our nails.
They must have forgot about the Milan game where we were getting beat 3-0 after an hour when it was just silence and people leaving for the last half an hour.
It's great and all that, but it just, you know, like, people have got that, it's not the old days or the Strang days anymore, you know, we have come so far doing it, but, you know, you still love selling, you don't stop liking them just because they've failed in a wee bit, but it's like, people are, as I've said it in the rank, people are trying to portray the fact that, oh, we are really loving this, and they're trying too hard to come across as, oh, this is great, and, you know, the world's a better place and all that, and fair enough, you know, they won't admit that it is, but I think we all know that in 2 years' time, and hopefully, by the way, Hearts come back up, if they're back, they're making the playoffs, playoff.
Oh, of course, of course, of course.
The playoff, see if Hearts could come up as well. That'd be great, because people miss Hearts away.
Oh, aye. Of course, of course.
I think we'll still can't have the league title, but we'll get demolish Rangers a few times,
Dana. Aye, 15-16, aye. But the thing is, do you think we'll ever have full houses at Parkhead again, apart from the Champions League and against Rangers? I can't see it.
I don't even think it'll be full on Saturday.
No, and seeing we get the league in the last home game of the season, it'll not be full. Nah, no, we're not getting the league on Saturday. We're not getting the league until the end of the season.
I know, but
aye.
Even when the trophy...
Oh, aye, that's right, aye.
I've not done it well. It's always been terrible. Always been rushed. Like, Man United done it, was it last year? It was great. No, I mean, obviously, because it was Fergie's last season, but like, every player came up, they get his enemy name read out, they get his enemy cheer, and you're going... The way we do it is, like, all the players that don't play, like, Ibrahim, Bangura, Balde, they all get flung out the front. They get first a bit of trophy, and then the captain comes up and takes the trophy, and then all we there we walk around the stadium, and then we get in.
And the stadium that's like, the stadium's half empty.
There's no thought into it, there's no nothing. And I think that it's time, like, there'll no be a full house because we've seen it all before, and, you know, it's just like people are fed up with it now, and you're fed up with Stoning watching a terrible game for 90 minutes, and then you're getting the trophy, and it's rushed, they want you at the road, you know, we speak to you and then telling you how much you love Jane, and then after that, you know, up and no, well, by the way, on your way out, pack up your renewal form, and if you didn't pack one up, we'll be posting it out to you on Monday morning.
And the thing is, I get an email the other day for Celtic saying that I could go on the season ticket priority list.
I got that email.
They must be a bit confused.
But we only go to away games now.
Oh, well, I don't know what games I'd go to now, but we'll talk about that another day. But I remember in 2012 when we won the league back for the first time in like 3 years, I thought, oh, this would be brilliant, the ceremony. And then they go, an Irish, terrible Irish singer, he sings some crap operatic song, and that completely killed the atmosphere.
Hey, was that the plan to beat Hearts?
Aye. Right now,
who
yep.
was They rushed that because Sky wanted to show the Man United, Man City title, the last day in the title.
Oh, that's understandable.
No, but instead of saying, no, do you know that, we've won the league, you can either show it or don't show it, but we're going in for the ceremony. The game finished at 12-2 or whatever, and they rushed it, you know, so everything was done for free.
To be fair, that was a bit more exciting.
I'm not saying I would have watched Celtic pick a trophy. I come to her, obviously, but see, Celtic, they said, no, do you know what? Those fans have paid a lot of money for the season ticket. We're going to give them a show and make it a bit better. But it's just, it's in Russia. They did it last year and it all rushed. And they'll do the same this year. They'll rush everybody onto the park. And, I mean, there last night, they're absolutely delighted about that. The fans and that, because it means they can promote a big lap of honour and a podium at the end of the game. It's happy.
Is there going to be a podium on Saturday?
Aye, there's
Jesus.
Going to be a podium in the lap of honour.
My God, what a waste of time. Just leave that into the last game of the season. But, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Surely something interesting will happen at Celtic and we won't have 7 weeks of tedium. Something must happen, surely.
Well, you'd like to hope so, but,
hopefully...
Maybe announce a new signing or something, get us all excited.
Well, or maybe...
I can't see it happening before the World Cup.
No, and I mean, the Euro qualifiers start right after the World Cup, and of course they're at Murrayfield, so... The first tour at Murrayfield, so that'll be interesting. You broke up there.
I'm saying I think Murrayfield will be a good day out for the Champions League, but only if we draw a team for Ireland.
I'll be half empty, so I'll just be like playing at Parkhead.
Well, be like watching rugby,
though. Right, so I think that'll do it for this week's episode. So, thanks for coming on, Bruce. I'm sure we'll be back in a couple of weeks when something no doubt will happen.
I know, not a problem. Hopefully, you know,
we might
see a few of the youngsters on Saturday and see a few of the younger players and fringe players for the rest of the season, and you know.
Maybe if there's enough demand for your legions of listeners, we could do a answer Twitter question special in a couple of weeks.
Let me you know, mainstream.
Actually, it was Pontiflex Maximus who came up with that idea, would you believe?
Don't even. He'll be like to do live web chats next.
Please don't. You'll make me feel sick.
And as well, if I'm put, so hijack it.
Oh, of course. Why don't you know like Neil Lennon? No saying about it.
Avengers are same club.
Oh, good luck to Ali's Army in the semi-final, of course. Right. Okay, Bruce. So, cheers for coming on, and I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Hail.
No worries. Cheers.
Right, hope you enjoyed that. Hopefully we'll be back in less than a month this time when something marvellously interesting happens at Celtic. Maybe some significant departures. Hint, hint. Follow us on Twitter, @TheSnarlingMen. Speech in a couple of weeks. Hail.